Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're going to start off with a few verses in Matthew tonight, guys, and then we're going to roll from there. This is going to be more of a topical message. I don't do a lot of topical messages because I believe the best way to teach people is through expository teaching and preaching. But I think this will be a blessing for the church tonight. And if you'll find Matthew 24, we'll start there because it just kind of clues us in to what we're talking about here tonight. Matthew 24, and we find ourselves there at verse 42. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say I'm getting there. Matthew 24, starting at verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, now here it is, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Wow. Father, speak to our hearts tonight about any issue, but especially this issue of being ready. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It rings so true in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where does America fit in Bible prophecy? That's the question that inquiring minds are asking about today. What is America's role in the last days? Is America mentioned in Bible prophecy? I hear this all the time in Bible conferences, in churches, on the street even, on the radio and television programs. And deep down inside of us, we really do want to know what's going to happen to this great country of ours, don't we? Our focus on America's destiny sometimes may seem just a tad arrogant to other nations, but it's a legitimate question because the United States is still the most powerful, productive, prosperous nation in human history. And we're still, by God's grace, I think we're still the top superpower in the world today. No other nation in human history really has had such an impact and an influence on world affairs politically, economically, religiously, militarily, culturally, linguistically, every other way you want to look at. America has left her stamp on human history like no other nation. It's been said before that when America sneezes, the whole world has a cold. I had a nap this afternoon, but I think some of y'all are still in nap mode, so we need to get out of that. But I think a lot of these questions that keep circulating today, like where is America in end time events, where does America fit in Bible prophecy, has to do with concerns that we have with what's going on in the world, right? What's happening in the Middle East, terrorism, radical Islam, Israel, national disasters, disease, famine, drastic weather changes, hurricanes, tornadoes, all of these things have left millions asking the question, are we nearing the end? Well, I personally believe that God is drawing the curtain to a close. I believe we are living in the last days. But the Bible is the authority for answering and addressing these questions that we have tonight. And so things do, in a sense, seem to be kind of getting worse and falling apart. And I, for one, believe we are definitely in the last generation before the return of Christ. And I, you know, does the Bible say anything Let's return back to our opening question. Does the Bible say anything or much about America's role in end-time events? Now, the Scripture is real clear about a lot of other nations in end-time events. I mean, it clearly defines the future of Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Sudan, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Central Asia, Europe, Syria, Greece, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Lebanon, China, and many others. And so is America mentioned specifically in Bible prophecy? The answer to that is no. We are not mentioned specifically in the Bible when it comes to anything, really, not just Bible prophecy. But, being the superpower today, doesn't it seem that it would be important to mention and identify the role of the most powerful, influential nation on the earth? And by the way, we're also Israel's greatest ally. We are still Israel's best friend in the world today. And so there are numerous passages that deal with all the nations. If you'll turn quickly with me, left in your Bible, just a few pages to Zechariah. Let me give you a couple of references here where all the nations in the world are mentioned, which would include America, okay? Look at Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3. "And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it." And so all of the nations will be gathered against Israel in the last days. Now jump over to chapter 14. It's real plain here. Chapter 14, verse 2. God says, "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." And so there is coming a day when all the nations of the world will gather and come against Jerusalem, against the city of God. And so America, obviously, will be one of those nations. So how did we get to that point when we come against Israel to do battle against Israel? How do we get there? Well, again, the Bible is silent exactly about our role in the last days, but I believe the silence is very, very significant. There are four inescapable truths that I want us to look at tonight that lead me to believe that America will not be a major player on the world stage of end time events. Did y'all get what I just said? That may be the most important thing I'll say all night. Let me say it one more time. There are four inescapable truths that we're going to look at tonight that lead me to believe that America will not be a major player on the world stage of end time events. And the first one of those, you'll find over in 1 Thessalonians. And we've read this several times over the last few months, but it always helps to read one more time. Amen? All right. The event that I'm talking about here is the rapture. How many of you are looking forward to the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4, listen to verse 13. "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Again, that's the Bible word for those who have died. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." But now listen to this. "Then we who are alive," that's rapture, "and remain shall be," here it is, "caught up, snatched away, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I think the rapture is one event that would cause America to be completely eliminated from the global picture. I believe that America will be a key player in world events until the rapture occurs. And I think until that point in time, we'll be Israel's greatest ally. Israel would have been wiped out already if America hadn't been behind her. I mean, she's surrounded today by 22 Muslim nations. And every one of them, save Jordan, wants to wipe her off the map. All of them want to get rid of Israel. And they would have, I think, if it hadn't been for the superpower America behind her as her ally. Can you imagine? Now, when the rapture happens, every single believer is going to be taken out of this world. Wrap your head around that. When the rapture takes place, dead believers are going to rise, living believers are going to rise, and there's not going to be one single Christian left in the world. Woo! There's not going to be one single believer left in America. There's not going to be one single Christ follower in Clarksville. Now that's a major event. Right? Y'all with me? All right. And so, now I've got some stats here I want to give you about the rapture. And I believe the rapture is going to bring America to her knees. And here's why. 85% of America today claims to be Christian. Now, say, oh my. We know that's not true, right? But let's just say for that figure may be probably somewhere around 30 to 35%, maybe. Maybe. And according to George Barna, if you ever want to get some stats, go to ask.com and George Barna will pop up. And he that's all they do is get stats about spiritual issues. But according to George Barna, 100 million Americans claim to be born again. Now that's about a third. There's 330-something million, I think, that live in America, maybe a few more. But that would mean if 100 million Americans are truly born again, they claim to be, you take 100 million Americans out of here, you think about that. Even if you bring that figure down to just 10%, if 30 million Americans, the salt and light of this culture, are taken out, what's going to happen to America? Now, those figures are not nearly as high in other countries. And listen to these figures. 3.6% are Christian in Asia. 15% claim to be Christian in Africa. Latin America is somewhere around 10%. Europe is at 2.4%. Yes. 2.4. And much of Europe is now under 2%. I double dog dare you. Get on a plane and go to England. And there's these huge monasteries, these huge churches all over Europe. And there'll be 20 or 25 people there on Sundays. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. All right. The rapture will be no more than a blip on the screen for a lot of these nations. But in America, every area of society, well, just think about this now. Just a minor thing in most of the other countries, especially these third world countries. But here in America, after the rapture, what's going to happen to the Dow Jones? What's going to happen to NASDAQ? It's going to melt down. What's going to happen to the housing market? It's going to plummet. Millions of mortgages. Those of you that are in the banking industry, millions of mortgages will quickly be in default. Think about our military personnel. They're going to vanish. A lot of them. Permanently. AWOL. And factories are going to shut down. Colleges will close their doors. Businesses will go belly up. Farmland will go unattended. Doctors and nurses won't be available to help the sick. The supply of medicine is going to dwindle. Communication industry will come to a halt. The entire economy will be in chaos. And y'all all remember what 9/11 did to New York City. You remember what Katrina did to New Orleans. And after the rapture, politically, economically, and socially, the landscape of America will collapse overnight. Are y'all getting the picture here? All right. And by the way, this also tells you how slick the Antichrist is. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that he will come up with this big lie that the whole world will believe. That's how amazingly powerful this guy will be. To explain the rapture to everybody. Everybody go, oh yeah, well that must be right. Wrong again. And so the leading nation in the world, that's us, will be little more than a third world country overnight. Power will shift immediately away from America to Europe and to the Middle East, making way for that European Union that we've been talking about, that 10-nation federation. And then that's where the Antichrist will be ushered in and rise to power. And in just a matter of a few days, weeks, or months, this 10-nation federation will be in control of the Mediterranean countries and all of Europe. And I personally believe that the Antichrist will come out of one of these 10 nations, probably in Rome. America, now, you know what? Everybody's got an opinion, but that's mine, okay? And I can back that up with Scripture. America will have little to say, a little say-so in the world at that time after the rapture takes place. Does that make good sense to y'all? We'll be a third world country. We're not going to be a player in the end times because all of us are gone. Here's the second event. Now go to Ezekiel with me. This is very interesting here. This is going to be an amazing event, supernatural event, that has some bearing on what we're talking about tonight. Look at Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6. I call this Ezekiel's War. Now the word of the Lord, Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the houses of Togarma, from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this prophecy 2,500 years ago. And he predicted an invasion of Israel by a massive attack led by a man named Gog, who will be the final ruler of Russia. The term Rosh, R-O-S-H, that's a symbol of Russia. Meshach, Tubal, Beth Togarma, and Gomer are references to modern-day Turkey, Persia. To modern-day Turkey. Persia is a reference to Iran and Iraq. I mean, you Bible students have probably already figured that out. Ethiopia, or Kush, is a reference to Sudan. And Libya, if you're reading King James Bible tonight, is a reference to, of course, to Libya. And the Bible prophecies that Russia and these other Islamic countries will invade Israel for the purpose of gaining access to the oil-rich Persian Gulf. And the total and complete annihilation of Israel is their goal. That's still their goal today, right? You know that. However, God is going to step in. This huge, massive army will come in over the Golan Heights, over the hills, over the mountains in northern Israel. And God's going to wipe Israel's enemies off the face of the map on the northern mountains of Israel by an earthquake, pestilence, friendly fire among their own troops, and fire from heaven. Where did you get that? Look at verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I've spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will, here it is, call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And so Russia and these Muslim nations will be destroyed by none other than God Himself on the northern hills of Israel. Now, I think, you cannot be dogmatic about this, but I think this event will happen shortly after the rapture. Why would I say that? After we're gone, what's going to happen to Israel? She's not going to have Big Brother across the sea anymore. Right? And so I think things will quickly begin to coalesce. And you know, that 10-nation federation over in Europe, that thing's going to rise to power. Antichrist, all that's going to quickly start taking place. And so I can see Ezekiel's war taking place pretty real quickly right after the rapture. Now, can't be real dogmatic about it, but I think there's a really good... You could see Ezekiel's war happening today also, right? You could see that happening today, but I think it's more likely after we're gone, after the rapture, that Ezekiel's war will take place. Now, now in verse 13, look at this. Some folks think this may be a reference to someone else. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? That is a... Some scholars believe that those countries that are mentioned are Western countries protesting the invasion of Israel. Now, we know Sheba and Dedan to be Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Britain, Australia, and some other Western countries. Nations. Tarshish in Ezekiel's day was the farthest known nation to the west of Israel, or what we would call modern day Spain. So the young lions of Tarshish could be a reference to America and the English speaking world, but it does not say that specifically. There are some scholars that jump out and say that though. Since America will no longer be a major superpower any longer, Russia and these other Muslim nations will go about their plans, and these other countries like us, like America, won't have the power to stand against them. And so they're going to come down. But God, how many of you know God is the defender of Israel? They are still the apple of His eye. He's still got His eye on His chosen people, and that's why we had always better be a blessing to Israel. Because that's what the Word of God teaches over in Genesis. And so you can easily see this war happening. The hatred for Israel is festering. It's mounting. It's reaching a boiling point. And right after the rapture, I can see Ezekiel's war coming to fruition. Because we're not going to have any say-so. All right, here's the third thing. Turn to Daniel. This is the third event that's going to happen. That I think speaks to this issue that we're looking at today. Daniel chapter 9, Ezekiel, Daniel, and verse 27. Daniel 9, 27. Then he, that's this Antichrist figure that Daniel's talking about, he shall confirm a covenant. And that word covenant there also means treaty with many for 1 week. But I think Billy mentioned this prophecy this morning. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. It is during this time, after the rapture, during Ezekiel's war, that the Antichrist will rise to power. And he'll be elected as the leader of the old revived Roman Empire, that 10-nation federation that we looked at. There will be some type of assassination attempt on his life, and he will receive what some would consider a fatal blow to the head, imitating who? Christ. And he'll be resurrected, or so Satan and others will claim, that this charismatic leader has been raised from the dead. And then this Antichrist will begin his, he's brilliant, he is charismatic, he is a great world leader, so far as, you know, getting people to follow him, and he will launch his career. And what's really going to make it for the Antichrist, he's going to be able to broker a peace treaty between the Palestinians and Israel. Can you imagine anybody that could do that? I mean, there have been a lot of folks try. I mean, over the years, I mean, some of our presidents have tried. But the Antichrist, with all of his slick skills and oratory power, will be able to broker a 7-year peace treaty between the Jews and the Palestinians in that area of the world, of those Muslims who are left, those Arabs and Palestinians who are still alive. And he will guarantee Israel's peace and protection, and allow the Jews to rebuild their beloved temple in Jerusalem and reinstate the sacrificial system. By the way, the Muslim mosque is coming down. Y'all know where it is right now. It's on the Temple Mount. Well, after Ezekiel's war, that's another issue that I think helps make the case for Ezekiel's war coming pretty close right after the rapture. The Muslim mosque will come down. And the Jews, Antichrist, will allow them to rebuild. And I'll tell you what, the Jews are working feverishly right now. They've got marble coming in. They've got all kinds of things. The priests are being trained. They've got all of their utensils and their silver, and all of that stuff's being prepared for the rebuilding of their temple and the sacrificial system. And the Antichrist is going to make that happen. And so the world's going to fall in love with him and claim him as their Messiah. Even the Jews will be hoodwinked and think that he is their long-awaited Christ. So you can see these events happening in our world right now on the horizon. People everywhere are looking for peace, especially in the Middle East. Historically, America has always been a mediator, a key mediator in the Middle East peace negotiations, but that's changing. Way back in 2003, the United States, the European Union, the United Nations, and Russia, do you remember this? They laid out a roadmap to peace. And there have been Bill Clinton, Arafat, all of these past leaders have tried to make the peace over there, claiming that peace would come. But I want to tell you, there's not going to be any true peace until the Prince of Peace comes. You can talk about peace, try to broker peace, but the Antichrist will broker this false peace, this sense of peace, for 7 years. And the European Union is going to play a big role in all of that during those days. But you remember the war in Iraq, and we're still fighting the war in Afghanistan, and all of these wars that America gets in. Every new war that we get into, I think, weakens our resolve to be over in that part of the world. And so after the believers are gone, man, you can see America just dropping out over there, can't you? And so in the last days, though, the Antichrist will be able to broker the peace in that part of the world. Never happened before. And so I believe that is a key event, the rise of the Antichrist and this peace treaty that he makes with him during the first, during that 7-year tribulation period. And so let's go to that now. Here's the last event, Revelation 13. And we have looked at this quite a bit. So this won't be anything new for you. Revelation 13, and let's look at the Great Tribulation period. All right, Revelation 13, verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped, now who's the beast? Antichrist. Saying, who is like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for how long? 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. And so after 3.5 years, after that original peace treaty, Antichrist is going to break that covenant with the Jews. And by great signs and wonders, he will proclaim himself to be none other than who? God. And you remember we talked about he'll be leaving Rome and coming to Jerusalem. And nobody's going to be able to mount a real challenge against him during that time. He'll have tremendous military power and prowess and authority. And then the beast will commit the abomination of desolation that Daniel talked about in 9:27 and Matthew 24:15 by setting his image up in the Holy of Holies. And the false prophet will through great signs and wonders, will help broadcast his image all over the world. And anyone who will not receive the mark of the beast, which is... That was mighty weak, y'all. What's the mark of the beast? 666. Okay. Anyone who won't receive his mark will be placed under a death sentence. They not only won't be able to buy or sell or keep a job or get a job or get medical insurance or anything like that, they're eventually going to be killed for not receiving that mark. Things will get so bad. You remember what Jesus said about these times? He said, if I don't shorten the days, even the elect, everyone will die. And so, what seems, and here's what gets me, what seems painfully clear to me is that America, rather than being a leader in the world, will be a follower. We pride ourselves, don't we, as being leaders, and stepping out and doing the right thing, protecting people, and being a blessing to countries. Man, our country gives billions of dollars away every year to poor countries. And we do all kinds of good things and good works. But that's not going to be the case after the rapture and after Ezekiel's war and after the peace treaty that the Antichrist makes. And so I think during that time we'll be kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? We'll make an alliance with that 10-nation federation over in Europe, and we'll just be kind of absorbed into the Western Confederation of Nations, and we'll no longer be a superpower, we'll no longer be a major player politically, economically, or socially, or religiously. And you know, what really speaks to me about this whole issue is America and the end time events, not one single prophet mentioned America in end time events. Not one prophet. You find America in the Bible for me. Jesus didn't mention us in end time events. I mean, not one apostle said anything about the United States in Scripture. In my opinion, the events that we've talked about tonight answer the question, will America be a major player in end time events? And the answer to that is no. No, we will not. Now, I think the rapture will primarily take care of all that. But even if the rapture doesn't take care of that, I can see some type of catastrophic event or a natural disaster or a nuclear event maybe even an economic earthquake in America. They've been talking about that happening here for years, hadn't they? There was a book written years ago about an economic earthquake bringing America to her knees. So If the rapture doesn't do it, I guarantee you something else will, because we are not mentioned specifically in the Bible, in the Scriptures, with end time events. And so our country is headed for trouble. Our country is headed for destruction. Does that make me happy to say that? No. But I want to tell you what. We don't have to sit around and wait on it. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm looking for Jesus tonight. I don't know what you've got your eyes on, but folks, we need to get our eyes on Jesus and finish well. Finish well. Billy had a great point today. It isn't how you start. It's how you finish. Oh, it's wonderful to have a good start, but I won't finish well. And I think you do too. And so how are we going to finish well? By getting as many people in the boat as we can. I want you to think right now about your family. You see them? How many of them are bona fide, born-again, blood-washed believers? How many of them are not? They're the ones closest to our hearts, are they not? It just may be that during this time, God's waiting on us to be His mouthpiece. And I want to tell you, if you're serving the Lord and you're living the kind of life that brings honor and glory and praise to God, they will listen to you. They'll hear what you say. Oh, they may not quite act like it, but they're hearing what you've got to say, because they see the difference that God's making in your life. Think about your friends. What about your neighborhood? I'm praying for my neighborhood to be saved. I've got all their names and addresses on this PrayForTennessee.com website. And every morning there's a list of names of people that live in my neighborhood that I can pray for to be saved. And one by one they're getting prayed for, and one by one I'm doing nice things for them, and one by one I'm witnessing to them. I'm just crazy enough to think everybody on Westchester Drive ought to go to heaven. And Junior Hill once said, all my neighbors either got saved or they moved. They may get tired of seeing me over there. But I want to tell you, God's left us here to make a difference. And all of this stuff's going to happen. I mean, it's coming down the pike. You can see it. But we're winners. We've got the victory. And we want to share that victory that we have with people that we live with. Several of you can serve as counselors in our Jesus and General Jackson rally, and we're going to have a counselor training session here the last Saturday of October. I believe that's the 28th. Is that right, Beverly? 27th. We're going to serve a light lunch here for all the churches that want to have counselors for this thing, and we're going to go through a quick counseling time about how to lead people to Christ, what you're going to need those nights. But we're going to need counselors. And by the way, if you're a born-again believer, you've got a story to tell somebody. And if you don't have a story, maybe you need to get a good dose of Jesus. Because I want to tell you what, He's in the life-changing business. And you know how you came to Christ. So if you know how you came to Christ, you can tell somebody else how to come to Christ. Right? So the excuse, I don't know what to say, that doesn't fly. You do know what to say. You've got Jesus said He would give you the words to say. So let's go to our neighbors, let's go to our family members and our friends with the good news. It's not enough just to live a good life. You got to open your mouth. I opened my mouth at a table at a wedding reception last night. There was another preacher across the table from me. I guess he was a preacher. I don't know if he thinks he's a preacher. So, anyways, but we got in a gospel conversation, and there was a couple of lost people sitting at our table, and so you can get in these conversations real easily wherever you are. And so Billy got in one. Last night, and maybe again this afternoon, with a neighbor who's actually in the hospital. Our redemption's drawing near. And we want as many people to split heaven wide open as possible. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so blessed tonight. So blessed. To be able to say that the believers in America are not going to have to be here through all this mess that the Antichrist is going to put people through. I'm not going to go through the Great Tribulation because that's what the Scripture tells us. And while America may not be specifically mentioned, eventually she's going to come against Israel with all the other nations. And so, Lord, I want to be on the winning side. And I know these others in here do too. And so, God, help us to, as Matthew talks about, to be gatherers and not scatterers. To gather people into the kingdom. Lord, I appreciate so much what you're doing in these days. And if there's one here tonight that hasn't settled this issue and isn't ready, oh God, I pray that they'd look me up tonight before they leave. Help us, Lord, as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.